and honor each other.
For me, it could not have been any worse. I was there last Sunday, Busch Stadium, the left field pavilion. I was wearing my Chicago Cubs blue t-shirt, and I was eagerly waiting for my Cubs to exact revenge on those Cardinals because they swept my Cubs in Wrigley Field the weekend before. So I sat with my friends under the scorching sun and the blistering heat. I waited and I waited. By the end of the fourth inning, after two applications of sunscreen and three home runs by the Cardinals, with the Cardinals already up 9-0, it was abundantly clear that I would have to wait longer. How long, O Lord, must I cry for help? But you do not listen. That was Habakkuk's lament. How long, O Lord? Lord, can't you see what's going on? It was abundantly clear to Habakkuk. He could see that his world was falling apart. Why couldn't God see that? And so Habakkuk wrestled with God. After all, that's what his name means, to wrestle. The evidence of those hard times was overwhelming. There was rebellion, wickedness, destruction, and violence. There was an unjust legal system, and the wicked outnumbered the righteous. We could add more evidence today. Questions of impeachment, government turmoil, fraud, unrestrained violence, sexual exploitation of women, poverty, prejudice, and on. And we lament, how long, O Lord, must I cry for help? But you do not listen. Personally, you know this lament. Will your family life always be like this? There's tension, there's conflict. Will that illness always linger? Will the kids ever obey? Will there always be one more thing to do, one more assignment, and one more responsibility? Where will it end? When will it end? When will this hurriedness ever end? And so we wait and we lament. How long, O Lord, must I cry for help, but you do not listen? Well, God does listen. God is not indifferent. But here's the problem. You won't like his answer. Because God's answer to Habakkuk was not what Habakkuk wanted to hear. God answered that those hard times were going to get even worse, and that God was going to raise up the hated Babylonians to destroy Judah. Listen to what God said about those enemies. The Babylonians are ruthless and impetuous. They are feared and dreaded. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. Their hordes advance like the desert wind. They are guilty men whose own strength is their God. In other words, they aren't all that different from you or from any other person. They are full of themselves. If it's going to happen, it was up to them. They lived in their own strength. Because we know what that's like. We all do. We've all said it. We've all thought it to ourselves. It's my agenda. It's my timeline. I know what's right. I can make it happen. I might even do godly work. Read my Bible every day and pray every day and complete all my assignments, check every box, even use theology to justify my thoughts and my behavior. But truth be known, I live by my own will and my own desire, and my own strength is my God. Our lament should be written, how long, O Lord, when I cry for help, that you answer me and I do not listen to you? God has an additional answer. Chapter 2. The revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. 66 years of waiting. Finally, it came, and Babylon received its due and was defeated. Waiting is not passive. It's not like being at the DMV. That's not the waiting that God describes. Waiting is active. It's like all those Cardinals circling the bases against the Cubs. As we wait for God, we're active and we humble ourselves. Because you are not the solution to your problems or even other people's problems. He is. And as you wait for God, recognize that He's transforming you to trust Him even more. And as you wait for God, be confident that He will not give up, that He will accomplish His purpose at the right time, that God's desire is much greater than you becoming the student that you want to be, but the disciple that He wants to make you to be more and more like Jesus. Wait. So Habakkuk waited. Habakkuk heard God's promise that the righteous will live by faith, or translated, the righteous will live faithfully. So God says that though everything is not right with the world, and though everything is certainly not right with us, He makes it right. And He makes it right in the one who is right, Jesus Christ Himself. And so for centuries, they waited for the promise. God acted, and God continues to act, and God restores His people. We live faithfully knowing that God accomplishes His work, and one day everything will be right when Jesus returns. Habakkuk's situation didn't change. The Babylonians were still going to come and ransack and destroy God's people. But based solely on the promise of God and the faithfulness of God, Habakkuk grabbed his musical instrument and he began to praise God. Check out chapter 3. Habakkuk recalled the past, how God delivered the children of Israel, and Habakkuk was physically weak as he was filled with awe and wonder at the promise and faithfulness of God. And Habakkuk sang, "I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us." From restless and unwilling to wait, the promise of God changed him that he would even wait patiently for that day of calamity. See, Habakkuk was transformed. God transformed him and taught him the lesson of faith to trust God no matter what, that even in suffering and loss, trust God, that God enters into suffering, that God enters into your pain. He enters into your frustration, and He enters by way of the cross. Habakkuk's name means wrestle, but his name also means embrace. That God embraces you in Jesus Christ, even when the world is not right, and even when you are not right, He embraces you. So Habakkuk's book concludes. After two complaints, he pulls out that musical instrument and he sings this way. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, the sovereign Lord is my strength. The Babylonians were living in their own strength, not Habakkuk. The sovereign Lord was his strength. The sovereign Lord is your strength today. Oh Lord, I cry for help. You listen. We wait. In Jesus' name, amen.